I thank God for the things He's been speaking to us, and there's one more message. And the name of this message is Peace in the Time of Judgment. Peace in the Time of Judgment. Of course, we all like the comfort of the word judgment, don't we? But it is comforting when we understand God's purpose. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we know that there are some very troubling events that are to come upon the earth before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, I believe that God is going to bring a major revival that will harvest in multitudes of people. And then there's going to be that trying of the great tribulation that all of God's people are going to go through. Although God can keep us, we need to understand that God can keep us. There's nothing to fear if we love Him, if we obey Him. There's nothing to fear. Now, we will be severely tried, but God loves us. We're of the light, and He wants us to remain in the light and obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we have entered a transition time, at least in the United States. I'm not declaring this to be worldwide, but in the United States, we are in a major transition time when many are becoming cold and indifferent toward God and His ways. We've been known as a Christian nation, but I'm afraid that that is slipping away very rapidly. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." Those who are not genuine, those who do not have the fire of God burning in them, and they light their own fire, they're going to lie down in sorrow ultimately, unless they repent, turn to the Lord. Now, I want to go to a situation in Israel's history with their encounter with Balaam. Balaam is called a prophet of God. And he wandered away from the things of God because of some evil in his heart. He was interested in money. He was interested in fame. And he came to Israel because Balak tried to hire him and get him to curse, to practice divination, witchcraft, against Israel, to curse them, to get them to turn away from destroying Balak and his people. And we see that it was all for his own personal gain. He was interested in himself, and he wasn't really being led by the Spirit of God. He was not doing the will of God. He was being led by an enemy of Israel and an enemy of God. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." And this is in reference to what happened earlier in history, but it's being rehearsed in Revelation. And there were two things. They sacrificed unto idols, and they ate things that were offered to those idols. And it opened their spirit to another spirit that would take over, and then it led them into fornication, which caused the judgment of God to come upon them. In Numbers 25, 1 through 3, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and commit fornication. And we see that their hearts were turned away from God. And behold, in Numbers 25, verse 6 through 8, "And behold, one of the children of Israel came in the midst of all this going on. He came and brought in unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through with that javelin, and it went right through the man and the woman that were in the act of fornication. And the plague was stayed from the children of Israel." What a situation brought about by Balaam brought about by this man that was called a prophet of God, but his heart wanted the rewards that Balak was offering. But we see the son here of the son of Aaron, Phinehas. He rose up. He was faithful to God. He loved God. He loved God's ways. He loved righteousness. He loved truth. And he went into that tent and brought about the judgment of God upon those sinners. And it's interesting what the reward was. God made a covenant of peace with Phinehas. He made a covenant of peace and set him apart, set apart that priesthood unto the Lord. And the hand of God was upon them because they stood in righteousness when the rest of the nation had gone after wickedness. And God is looking for a people in this day when the nation is running after wicked things. Those that will stand up and declare that God's ways are right and we will not compromise. We will not turn aside, but we will stand in the truth of God. Now, God has provided a time of testing for our country. And those of you that live in another country, you can pray for our nation. We're in desperate need. God has allowed a time for people to choose what they want, both in the world and in the church. Many churches are popular in many places throughout the land, providing whatever people want. Not what God wants necessarily, but whatever the people want. Many small churches have struggled, and pastors have experienced discouragement as a number of their flocks are drawn away, in many cases, by entertainment. And have what you want messages available. God is revealing the desires, the heart desires of people before he changes his agenda. And God has precipitated this to give people what they really want, to show what is in their heart. God has to reveal what is in people's hearts. And it's amazing how God does it at times. I've been burdened for a number of weeks, several months actually, over this very matter. I've been sensing the heart of God and the grief in his heart over the way that this nation is going. And I'm talking about those that should be called God's people. But God has allowed it. God has allowed it to test, to try, to show what's in the heart of people. And thank God for the faithful ones that have not been moved by the trends in the nation, even in churches, but they've remained faithful many times in small flocks. And that's difficult. Many pastors are saying, what have we done wrong? What's happened to our congregation? And it's frustrating. But God has done it for a purpose that is essential for His purposes. And I want to encourage you tonight, God has something that we're going to appreciate in the days ahead when we see the results that God brings from this. Family life has disintegrated as people have forsaken godly order. God's primary title is Father. His primary title is Father. And men, when we marry and have children, we are called Father after our Father in heaven because He wants us to be like Him and love our family so much that will lead them in paths of righteousness that they might inherit the promises of God. When God called Abram, his name means High Father. And later in his life, as he had matured and developed and followed in God's ways, the Lord renamed Abram to Abraham, and that is Father of a multitude, not just High Father, but Father of a multitude. And man, God wants us to be like our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be like Abram and Abraham, as he was named, that we can be the father of a multitude in due time. And God wants to work in us. And it's necessary that we are faithful as fathers. Many fathers are not faithful nowadays in this nation. And being a father is a very special privilege, but it has very great responsibilities with it. Fathers, we must take very seriously our accountability to our Heavenly Father. Fathers are forsaking their God-given responsibilities to train and lead their families in God's ways. That's being forsaken in this nation. Many fathers are not fathers, true fathers, in God's definition of the word. And we as fathers are accountable to God for the way that we lead our families. We will give an account to Him. We often think of the privileges of being a father and forsake the idea of responsibility and accountability to God. And I just want to encourage all of us, don't slack up because of what others in the nation are doing. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be a faithful father like our Heavenly Father is faithful. Now, I want to speak about some coming changes that I believe are coming. And some of these are already launched in this nation. And In Isaiah 26, verse 9 and 10, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants thereof will learn righteousness." Now, God's purposes are good. God is a good God. And when His judgments are in the earth will learn righteousness. And in the land of uprightness will He deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. But God is going to send forth His judgments to bring about righteousness in this country once again. And God is faithful. God knows just what it will take. He knows what kind of judgments have to come in the land to turn the heart of this nation back to the Lord. And I believe that this is essential before the great revival that's to come is going to take place. There's going to have to be judgments of God to turn this nation so that God can bring the revival that He's spoken of in earlier times. Now, this word judgments means a sentence, a verdict. It's speaking of divine law. It's speaking of a penalty of justice. And God is the judge that decides what must be enacted to correct the situation. And I believe this is coming into our society. I think things are already happening. Did y'all hear of a little storm down in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia? I think it was called Florence. It's being called an epic storm. An epic storm. This one will go on the books as a record. And maybe next year others will surpass it. Who knows? There's other things that are happening. California is burning. It's fire there. And, you know, when you consider what's there, through Hollywood and through other media, the way has been led promoting sodomy and other acts of immorality as though it's part of normal life. It's sin, and it's destructive to the nation. God hates it, and His sentence against someone who practices such thing is the death sentence. That's how severe it is in God's eyes. And I believe, and I know God's judging things. He's exposing many of these things that are taking place, at least fornication, rape, and those kinds of things. The sodomy's not being judged yet the way it will be, but these things have to be dealt with. And it's interesting, I heard a news clip that other nations are following the lead of the United States. That's such a grievous thing. The High Court of India recently moved to state that old British laws regulating against sodomy cannot be sustained by the court system in India any longer. In other words, they're declaring freedom, so-called, freedom to act any way you want to. What a tragedy, and I'm sure that the influence from this nation has influenced that in India, that decision in India. God's judgments or corrections are coming in some way upon the USA. And it's necessary to prepare our country for the needed revival that I believe God's planning to bring. I remember years ago, Pastor Bailey telling us about the revival that was going to start in the United States and would go throughout the earth. And I believe that's coming. But I believe these judgments must precede it. And God wants us not to have any fear except the fear of the Lord. He wants us to know that He can keep us in the midst of everything that's going to come as a judgment against this nation. God's judgments or corrections are coming in some way very soon upon the USA. It's necessary to prepare our nation for the revival that is needed so desperately. Now, I want to speak about preparing to be kept by the power of God during these coming judgments. How do we prepare? Well, one matter that I believe is very, very important, and that is to hear and obey when God speaks to us. In Exodus chapter 19, God brought Israel to Mount Sinai. They had passed through the Red Sea. God's power moved mightily in their behalf, but they came to Mount Sinai, and God spoke to them from heaven and gave them instructions. And He said, "If you will obey My voice indeed and keep My covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine, and you shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Now, there's other accounts of this incident at Mount Sinai, and it's interesting to read them. Going on in verse or chapter 20, verse 18 through 21, the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, God had spoken from heaven. He gave them a tremendous promise. But with all the manifestations of the power of God, they backed away, even with that tremendous promise. And they said unto Moses, "Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." They felt if they heard the voice of the Lord, it would kill them. Well, in a sense, that's true. When God speaks to us, it often brings death to the carnal man. It brings death to the carnal man, but it gives life to the spirit. And God wants us to have that life in us. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, another account of this, beginning in verse 22, Deuteronomy 5, verse 22, these words the Lord spoke unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire and of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. God said, if you'll obey, if you'll hear my voice and obey and keep my covenant, I will do wonderful things for you. You'll become a kingdom of priests unto God, kings and priests unto God. What an awesome promise. But there were manifestations of God's power and his glory, and they reacted to that. And he wrote them in tables of stone, delivered them unto me, and it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire. There were manifestations, unquestionably, that you came near to me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. God lives and man lives when God speaks to him. Therefore, he said it again, why should we die? Why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then shall we die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go near, hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it, and we will do it. But the idea was, don't let God speak to us. But the power to do God's will was in hearing his voice. Now, I've probably shared this situation before here. Those of you from Starville, and there's a few, would have heard it before. But a number of years ago, I loved football. I loved it. And I lived in a certain measure for football games. And one day I was watching a football game on TV. And I was enjoying it thoroughly. And the voice of the Lord came to me and said, turn it off. And if I remember correctly, I think this is how I responded without thinking. I said, Lord, are you kidding me? Football is a good, clean sport. You know, where guys bash into each other and hurt each other. But I was offended how God could tell me to turn off a football game. I looked forward to it all week, and God was aware of that too. But finally, I sensed no give in God. And he said it again, turn it off. So I turned it off. And I was wondering, where do we go from here, Lord? For how long do I keep it off? To the next quarter? To halftime? And I went to go turn it on, and God says, I said to turn it off. So I thought, The next week, I was inquiring of God if I could turn it on, and there was no answer. His last statement still stood, keep it off. And later, several weeks later, I said, Lord, I love football so much. And the Lord says, I know, but I have something else to do in you. And after several weeks, God began to do something in my heart. Now, I had been praying for God to deal with certain issues in my life. I had been praying for them. And when I obeyed the voice of the Lord in shutting that off, God began to work like never before to change those areas of my life. When I obeyed the voice of the Lord, God was answering a prayer. And I thought he was against me. I thought he was trying to keep me from having any entertainment. But no, he wanted to work that thing out of my life, those things out of my life, actually. And he put that restriction. And for a long time, I never saw anything. Now, occasionally I can glance at something, but it's like there's no heart in it anymore. I don't care about it that much. I don't know if I should talk about my wife or not. God's never spoken to her about the subject, but there's just not something left me when I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And that was the beginning of an understanding that God has used a number of times that I regard when God speaks to me. I regard when he speaks, and no matter how difficult it is, I want to obey him. Because what he speaks is for our good. What he speaks is for our benefit. It will be a blessing in our life. At Mount Sinai, God made it clear if Israel would obey his voice and keep his covenant, he would make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was his plan for them. And they said they would obey the Lord if God wouldn't speak directly to them, but speak through Moses. But they never did obey. And they missed that promise of God. They never fulfilled that generation. Many of God's people become lax and selective when God speaks to them so that they pick and choose what they will respond to and obey. Does that ring any bell in any of you? Are you selective? When God speaks to you, decide what you'd like to obey and kind of forget what doesn't sound pleasant to you. It's very easy to do that. We must learn to obey no matter what the difficulty or discomfort in our situation. He wants to preserve us. He wants to keep us. But we must be obedient no matter how inconvenient to the flesh. And see, maybe in the past, we've been able to get along quite fine picking and choosing what we want to obey. But I believe in the judgments that God's going to bring on the earth. If we want to be preserved, if we want to be hidden, it's essential that we obey when God speaks to us. He can hide us right in the midst of turbulence and trouble that is unbelievable. But it only comes to those that will hear His voice and obey Him. Because God may tell us to do something that just doesn't seem protective enough. I read a story many years ago in one of Corrie ten Boom's books about World War II in France. There was a village of people in a town, in this town in France, and they would go out every day to work in their fields. One day, two German aircraft flew over them and went down a few miles and turned around and was heading toward them. And they ran back to the village to gather some of their belongings. But there was one Christian lady, and God spoke to her and said, "Run away from the village. Get away from it. Don't go near it." And she obeyed the voice of the Lord. She was the only one in the village that survived that bombing because she obeyed what God spoke to her. To the others, it seemed reasonable to go and gather their belongings so they didn't lose everything. Well, they lost their lives. But that woman that obeyed when God spoke to her, she lived. And I believe God can preserve us in the days ahead, in the judgments coming. In Isaiah 26 and verse 20, and 21, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." So, if what I'm saying is from the Lord, if the judgments of the Lord are upon the United States, God wants His people to be preserved. God wants His people to be saved. The destruction is to deal with those that will not keep His laws. They've known the way of truth, and they've refused to walk in it. But God wants to preserve those that will hear His voice and obey His voice. It's critical that we obey the voice of the Lord explicitly, no matter what He tells us to do, so that He can fulfill His purpose and spare us in times of judgment. Now, this example is a little bit different, but I want to use it here. In 1981, we had just returned from a trip. It was really the first trip we made, I believe, to another place to minister. We had been 10 years without traveling, just ministering to the people in the church. We were new pastors there 10 years earlier. And when we returned from this trip, I was driving down the road and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, just out of nowhere, seemingly. And He says, "Narrow windows for light and pillars." Now, I can't tell you how I knew, but it was a word from the Lord that we were to build a new building. And I didn't know we were supposed to build a new building. We had a building. However, at that time, there was about 180 people in it. And I've always said you could listen to 5 Sunday school classes all at once. It was so crowded. And God made it clear, and He confirmed it through other people in the church, that He was planning for us to build a new building. God gave us a word. It wasn't like it was a desire. It wasn't like we've got to do something. Not at all. God just sovereignly spoke from heaven and declared we were to build a new building. Now, we had $30,000 we had been giving heavily to missions. We had $30,000 in our bank account, which was unusual because we usually used it all up on missions and that kind of thing. But we were giving to everything that we knew we should, and then God had given us this word to build a new building. Well, we needed land, first of all, and we needed blueprints and permits and so forth, and that took $30,000. So when we were ready to build, we didn't have any money. Do you need money to build? Well, I thought we did, but it was working a little strangely. But we just waited on the Lord. We figured that we needed to get started in early spring with building the wall sections, and getting the roof trusses and all of that, so we could put all that together before winter came. Well, we actually started, I think, sometime maybe in October. And winter's not too far behind at that point. But God helped us, and we had most of it put together by the time. I do remember we were roofing one day, and there was snow. But God did amazing things to help us get that going, because He had spoken to build a new building. It wasn't our desire. It wasn't born out of our ideas. God spoke from heaven, and we obeyed what He said, and He provided everything we needed for that building. It took 3.5 years. We had to be patient. We did most of the labor, and it was a lot of work. But at the end of 3.5 years, we had not, I left this out. God also spoke that we were not to borrow. Now, a man of God came along, and he said, "You need to borrow money and get this thing built right away so more people can come in and pay for the building." I says, "Well, God spoke to me, we're not to borrow." And we didn't. At the end, the building was paid for, and we hadn't borrowed one penny. Because God is faithful. When He speaks to us, He'll fulfill what He says He'll do. And I want to encourage us, not for building church buildings, but for the things that I believe are coming in this nation. God will protect us if we'll obey when He speaks to us and do what He said to do. God is faithful, and I want to encourage you to believe Him and trust Him. Now, I want to speak to the younger generations about developing a sensitive ear and obedience to the Lord. You are also accountable to God. Now, hopefully your parents are teaching you and showing you what's appropriate, what's acceptable to God and what isn't. Hopefully you have a heart that has developed a sensitivity and you want to know from the Holy Spirit if your activities are pleasing to God or not. But just in case that hasn't happened, in Isaiah 50, verse 10 and 11, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." God wants us to trust in him and stay. Hold steady in God's ways. Don't compromise. But he goes on, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." Now, Pastor Dan Karam wrote a book called The Trial of the Saints. And it's very well written. It's on the book of Daniel and his friends. They set their minds that they would not partake of the diet of the Babylonians. They had been prescribed a diet by God, and they wanted to keep to that. And they made a plea to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, to be allowed to keep their diet. And they were presented with the other diet, but they said, "No, we want our diet." And they were given permission to go through a trial. And their hearts were set toward God and his ways. Now, many of our current day young people who know something of God's ways need to consider their media diet. It's necessary to consider your media diet that greatly feeds your spiritual life. What you eat, what you partake of in your spirit from media is very strong and will have great influence upon you. Sci-fi and other inappropriate movies, social media, video games, defiling music, pornography, and anything else that God would speak to us to avoid is improper diet. And God wants us to set our heart after him and let him bring a cleansing of our diet, and that we partake of those things that are going to give us life, that are going to protect us in the time of God's judgments. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." You say, "Well, if the bombs start flying, then I'll change my diet." It's a little late. If we want God and his purposes, we must make the right choice concerning what spiritual food we're going to partake of. And seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the point I want to make is this, that whatever God is going to bring to execute this judgment, we need to prepare now. We need to get ready now. We need to be full of righteousness. Righteousness delivers from death. And God wants us to take seriously. And I felt this warning in my spirit. I've been carrying it for weeks, like I've said. And I believe God wants us to take very seriously the things that He's saying to us. We must learn to obey God when He speaks to us. We must respond to the peace of God. And you know, it's an amazing thing. If we learn to obey the voice of the Lord, many times God will lead us with His peace or with a lack of peace. When we have peace, we know we're going in the right direction. We keep moving ahead. When we don't have peace and we move ahead, we get into serious trouble. God's trying to lead us with peace. And I believe God wants us in this next while to have the peace of God in our lives. He wants us to have the peace of God. Now, I know some of you may not agree with what I'm preaching. I believe it's authentically the Word of God. And I believe that God really loves us and He wants to spare us. That's why He's giving us this opportunity. And I want to encourage you that God doesn't want us to ignore His warnings. The judgments are already in the land. And I believe they're going to increase in different ways. They're going to increase. But God wants to protect us. Amen? Do you believe that? God wants to protect us. And what He speaks to us is to that end. Praise God. In Matthew 4 and verse 2, and when they had when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter, who is Satan, came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, well, there was no if in that. He is the Son of God. And Satan knew that. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now that word there is in the Greek, rhema. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So see, it's a very special thing when God speaks to us directly. Now, He can lead us by peace, and I think He wants to do that also. But when God speaks a rhema from heaven, it's really important. It's significant. And we need to sit up and pay attention to whatever God's putting His finger on or however God's directing us. We want to pay attention. We respond to the Lord when He speaks to us. Herein is peace. The peace of God is upon us. We don't have to live in fear. He will guide us into that which is His will for us. In 2017, and I've shared this before, some of you would have heard this. In 2017, it had been forecast by weather experts that a hurricane was to travel up the coast of western Florida. northward. Does anybody remember anything about that? Well, there's a few people. Some of them are Floridians that live in that area. Was headed for a place called Clearwater. A day or so before that was to happen, before it had been forecast to go on the west coast of Florida, northward, I woke up in the morning and I was quickened by the Holy Spirit to wait on the Lord and ask if the Lord had any instructions about that hurricane. I waited on the Lord, and the Lord gave me a word. It's from Isaiah 30, verse 17, and at the end it says, their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. And sure enough, later that day, I received a call from a couple of Zion inhabitants of that area. And they presented what they were feeling in their spirit. They presented what other Christians were telling them, that they should get out of there. They should leave and go inland because the hurricane was coming up the coast. But the word of the Lord was, their strength is to sit still. And so they had a witness to that. They sat still. The hurricane came up the west coast, and I think it was, wasn't it around Tampa, St. Pete? Yes, thank you. Before, right as it got there, it started to turn north. And it, very little influence of that was upon Clearwater. Oh, a tree here and there fell down, but they were safe. Had they gone where they were advised by Christians to go, they would have been right in the middle of it. But they obeyed the word of the Lord. And God wants to give us his assurance. God knows where the storm's going in these judgments that are coming upon the earth, upon the United States anyway. I'll limit it to that because that's what God spoke to me. He wants to give us his assurance that he will lead us in paths of righteousness. And if we will obey the voice of the Lord, if we'll hear it and obey what God says, God will preserve us. So you judge. Is this a word from the Lord or is it not? Are judgments coming on the United States to get us ready for revival? I believe so. God dealt with me for a number of weeks, like I said. It's been very troubling at times. But I have deep peace. And I believe that God wants us to hear so that we are ready. When it comes, we're prepared. God's told us what to do. We don't listen to news to find out what we should do. We don't depend upon the ideas of other people. We obey what God says to us. Their strength is to sit still. What a word from the Lord. I didn't even remember that was in the Bible. But it is, and God's word is sure. God wants to keep us. He wants to keep us. And he wants to prepare us for the revival that's going to come, that must come, to prepare the church to go through the great tribulation. We need preparation. Praise God. Father, I pray tonight, O God, that you'll confirm your word with signs following. I pray that you'll speak to heaven. Lord, really, in our hearts, if things are not right, we know that. We may try to defend our ways and our actions, but Lord, really, deep down, we know. Lord, I pray that you'll pour out abundance of grace, the gift of repentance that will turn from those things that could literally destroy us in the days ahead of us. Lord, show us your hiding place. Show us the place you prepared to preserve those that love you, love to hear you speak, and will obey you. And Lord, give us deep peace in our hearts as we obey you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.